all these little places that where did you find these? He said, well, I found it on the map. And so he'd be going, I'd be home taking care of the kids and doing things. He'd be off on his day off and going out and who knows where to,
I do.
but he'd be going off someplace in Utah to find all these little side towns or blink towns or whatever, and find these cemeteries and find out where these people were buried. We did not have GPS. All he had was these government survey maps that showed contour of the land and maybe a town and a cemetery off in the middle of nowhere.
So we talked about your gathering and verifying names, which led to the effort to try to find where the battalion members were buried. So how did that come about? Well, did you find that probably in the records, I guess, if you're doing their genealogy?
Their genealogy records and would spend a nickel and make a photocopy of the family group sheet. And those are available now at the battalion headquarters somewhere, unless they just got discarded because somebody didn't think they didn't have any value.
And Margaret, you were involved with that. So, do you want to share your perspective of that part of the project?
Well, from the family group sheets, Carl used the geological survey maps to locate towns and
Search Provo,
cemeteries.
for example. I'd look up Provo when the Geological Survey Church Library had this great big collection of geological maps.
And they showed the contours, but they showed the where the towns were and where some of the cemeteries. And if it wasn't a town, they showed places where there's a cemetery out in the middle of nowhere, like down in Hatch, for example, over in Lawrence. All these little places that where did you find these? He said, well, I found it on the map. And so he'd be going, I'd be home taking care of the kids and doing things. He'd be off on his day off and going out and who knows where to,
I do.
but he'd be going off someplace in Utah to find all these little side towns or blink towns or whatever. And find these cemeteries and find out where these people were buried. So he'd be off driving around the state and finding all these places to go because of what he was able to find on the government survey maps. And this was back in the time there was no GPS available. We did not have GPS. All he had was these government survey maps that showed contour of the land. And maybe a town and a cemetery off in the middle of nowhere. Yeah.
Wow.
And finding where the roads went, whether it was a paved road or a dirt road or whatever, and found these places and found out where these people were buried. And without a GPS, he would draw a map, sometimes be more than one map, how to get to the place where the cemetery was, and then how to find the grave in the cemetery. And he just drew these little maps about how to find these grave sites for these men.
Yeah, for instance, in the Ogden, you go to a particular corner where two streets come together, and there's a street sign in the cemetery that says, here they are. You go from that landmark, so many feet this way and so many feet that way, all and stop you there.
Oh my goodness.
Or it might be so many feet this direction to this distance from the flagpole in the center of the cemetery, if it was a small cemetery, usually. Some oftentimes there was a flagpole. Sometimes there was a directory in the cemetery that showed where the grave sites were, but that wasn't very often.
But that was rare.
That was
Yeah,
rare.
it is.
That was rare. But that's what he did. And that was how he took care of finding and locating those grave sites before we had a GPS. And then when we got GPS, we went back to those places and got GPS coordinates.
Oh my goodness. And so were your kids involved? Or
Well, take family vacations, and every now and again, we'd have to stop at a cemetery and say, just stop at this one. No, yes, oh, whatever. But yeah, it was usually between the two of us, and usually mostly just Carl out on his own because I had to stay home with all the kids because they were too young. It was while they were in school, they was able to go off and do things.
Well, so this leads us back to how I actually met you. This part of how your project evolved into identifying these graves brought about the desire to commemorate these men and honor them with a marker, with a medallion. And so that's what was happening in 2005 at Colonel Cook's grave
yep.
in Detroit. Oh, we were placing a medallion on his grave. Yes.
Outstanding. That was a delightful day.
I want everybody listening to know that if they go to a cemetery to their relative that's was a member of the Mormon Battalion, they should look for one of these medallions that's been placed, and they can remember Carl and Margaret for their sacrifice and effort in trying to do that for those men and women. So if I can, I'll get a picture of that and put it in. But I'm also going to put a picture of you folks. I want your picture in the podcast first, but I think Kevin has a picture of the medallion. Have all of them been identified?
No.
Okay.
I'm not going to worry about that.
Okay, so here we go, people. Here's something that you can help with.
What has happened is they have quit making the medallions and instead have a little metal marker about like this. But it's about like this, about the same size as the faith in every footstep kind of a marker, that kind of a thing.
Okay.
So that they can be attached to the headstones rather than having to dig a hole in the ground for these medallions. The medallions got to be too expensive. And so these little plaques that can be attached to the headstone are much more cost effective. They are available, as far as I know.
If they're not, it's not that difficult to.
You can have one made.
Go over to the foundry and have them done up.
You know what I'm going to do for this podcast is I'm going to actually turn on a feature of the podcast so people can comment. So if you're listening to this podcast and you go to a cemetery and you see one of these medallions, I'd like you to put a comment and say, thank you, Carl, and tell them what cemetery you're at.
Okay.
And then if you go to a cemetery and you see or you find information about a battalion member that's not honored with a medallion or a plaque, make sure that you make a comment in there so that we can get that taken care of and get them honored. I'm sure the Mormon Battalion Association would be interested in making sure that if a grave is located, that it's commemorated.
Anyway,
these are real people to those of us who have spent time with them.
You did, didn't you?
And you know, this is one of the questions was how much time, how much money did you spend in this research? And you know, just talking through it, if people cannot begin to grasp the number of hours and days and months and years spent on this project, then they're not listening.
I must say, with the research he did on these men and women and children, he put together a database. The first one was published in 1987. The second edition was published in 1997. So there was a 10-year difference there. And then, of course, the second edition is a little bit more complete. But still, there were two different editions of the database. And they are available. I think they're available online in different places. I hope the association has this 897 edition. They should have and put it online.
So having the 87 there as a reference is good. Having the 97 as a reference is good. As you know, we've even gone further than that now.
Yeah.
So it is historical information, which we do want to have access to.
Yes.
Yeah. We want to make sure people can follow our footsteps.
All right. Well, you have spent years doing all this research, and now others have built on it and are still using it to find things. What would you like to say to those people that are younger that might hear this podcast? What kind of encouragement could you give them? Carl, you go first.
Carry on. And that's not dead flesh.
Not what?
Dead flesh.
Oh, okay.
Carry on.
Margaret?
I would say the same thing. Keep working at it and find out who your family is.
We haven't got to the end of the story yet. It's going to take a while for us to get there. So all we can do is just carry on. And I want you all to know how pleased I am with what you have done to this Mormon Battalion Association. We're not a supper club anymore. We're serious.
Great.
But we had a fun time being in a supper club.
Well, we can have supper club meetings too.
Yeah.
And that supper club is where you saw that picture of Dan Tyler, right?
That's true.
Uh-huh. So things have to start somewhere.
And an army marches on its stomach.
That's true. I just had the same thing. because it's important to know who your family is. But when I was teaching school, I taught English in high school. I taught junior English, which was teach American literature. And one of the things that I was supposed to teach was William Bradford's journal. He was one of the leaders of the people on the Mayflower. In reading the section in the literature book that I was supposed to teach, there was an account of a man, John Howland, a young man, during a storm who was washed overboard, but he was able to grab hold of a rope and hauled back on board. After I retired, I learned that I am related to John Howland.
Oh my goodness.
And about half a dozen other people that came on the Mayflower. If I had only realized, I would have given my students the assignment to find out if they have New England ancestry. And chances are, if you have New England ancestry, you have ancestry that came on the Mayflower. And who knows, we may be related through John Howland or one of those other people. But it's important to know who your ancestry is so that you can honor them and know the background and know what happened, what they did and how they did it and what they were able to do so that you could be here and give them that honor that they deserve. Whether it was from the Mayflower or from a handcart pioneer or from a wagon train pioneer or a long hunter or a trapper or whatever they did to make this country what it is, it's important. Or if you have immigrant ancestors, a fairly recent immigrant ancestor, it's important to know who they were and what they did and what they had to go through in order to be here or in order to make a difference in your family.
It gives you an appreciation for your own life.
That's right.
And it gives you a desire to do something with your life.
Right.
Because you feel like you owe it to those people that came before.
Yes.